Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm Ben Trueblood. John Paul Basham is here.
Yo.
Mary Margaret West.
Hello.
We're excited to be with you on another episode. Just as a reminder, if you haven't headed over to iTunes to leave a rating and review, we would love for you to do that. It helps other people find the podcast, and that's great. We want you to be able to share it with them. While you're there, hit the subscribe button. Without further ado, we're going to jump into today's topic, which is one that, honestly, it doesn't happen everywhere. And so there are some thoughts that would say, like, hey, why are you doing a podcast that doesn't happen everywhere? Today we're going to be talking about fundraising, different options that you can have to do fundraising. Maybe why you should do fundraising, perhaps why you should not do fundraising, and some places where it just doesn't make sense, right? So I, in churches that I've served in, John Paul, I think this would be a true statement for you as well. We weren't allowed to do fundraising as a student ministry. It was something that there, at least I know one church that you've been at, there was a ban on fundraising. And we can get into a little bit of the philosophy behind that. And the philosophy was, let's not ask a lost world to pay for something that we're doing at the church.
Right.
And so that was kind of the philosophy behind that. And so let's not ask a lost world through car washes or buy our barbecue on the side of the road or whatever to pay for our students to go to camp. And I think beneath that general statement is what we as the church, if we believe in this enough, we should, as givers, as a part of the body of the church, be able to fund those things that we want to do. Now, I know that context doesn't fit anywhere. That's just the philosophy that was most familiar in church settings that I was a part of. So I would throw out the question to you guys, how does that philosophy sit with you? You guys have both served on church teams and church staff situations. What is that philosophy of no fundraising or we don't want to ask a lost world to pay for what we do inside the church? How does that sit?
I wish I had a deeply theological answer that was backed by a tremendous amount of conviction, but I don't.
That's okay.
And I think I kind of fall in this place of looking for the opportunities. You know, I think God provides in a lot of ways. And I don't really have a conviction about the surrounding community giving money for some service that you provide, whatever your fundraiser is going to be. I don't have a conviction about using that money to fund ministry.
Yeah.
And I think part of that comes from, I mean, just learning from pastors that I've served with that talk about, man, work like it depends on you and pray knowing it depends on the Holy Spirit. You know, part of that is, man, there are some churches that are pulling off some killer events for the community. Mm-hmm. And they're beneficial to the community. It's a good first exposure for a lot of people to the church. You know, it serves several purposes.
Yeah.
That put the church in a positive light, but also provides financial backing to be able to do ministry. And I don't have an issue with it. I see the philosophical argument. You wish, mm-hmm, as a ministry leader that the church would, because, you know, you think 20, you know, 80-20 rule. Surely, yeah, we can get some more of our people to, mm-hmm, back the things that God is calling us as a church to do.
Right.
In that ideal world, yeah, that would be the dream, just to see the church fund everything. But since it's not the reality, my personality and kind of leaning is to go get it somewhere else.
Yeah, I think you bring up an interesting aspect of fundraising that I think needs to be called out in this conversation. And that, well, two things. If done well, your fundraising may also be an outreach event for your church. If you right. do something yeah. that, like you mentioned, rallies the community, involves them, it's not just, hey, we want your money, but you get this experience or we're providing this thing for you, that sometimes that can be a really strong front door to begin to reach people in your community. And I think the other thing that I would mention is that a church who has built a positive reputation in the community can get away with this. Get away is a horrible phrase, but you get what I'm saying. Can get away with something like fundraising a lot better than a church who is not active in the community, serving them in lots of different ways already. And I think the right. let's not ask a lost world to fund Christian things. I think the root of that is we don't want to be seen as the church who always asks people for money.
Yeah.
Really. Like right. when you boil it down, mm-hmm. I think that's the core of that statement. We don't want to build the reputation of all we want is your money.
Yeah.
And I think you avoid that reputation when you're in the community all the time. When you student ministry, when you're in the school campuses and serving principals and you're in neighborhoods and you're doing those things that you do as a student pastor and as a church, those things build and give you the freedom to do stuff like this.
And I think there's such a difference between a car wash, bake sale, things like that, and an experience for people, you know, where some churches can, you know, maybe host a concert and say that, hey, the proceeds from this are going to X, Y, or Z, and like that it's going to a specific area of our church or things like that. But there's, you know, there's a difference between just kind of like standing on a street corner in a parking lot trying to get, you know, a dollar here, a dollar there, and really creating something that's going to welcome people inside the walls of your church, like you're saying, to really develop and lean into the community. But it's also going to create some benefit for your team on the long run, where your students can serve that night and can be a part of what's going on, a part of the experience, and then be able to, as a result of what they've done that night, you know, get part of the proceeds from it or something like that, where it is more community church-wide driven and not just, hey, like, would you please come through this car wash? And like, we're going to do a mediocre job and hope you're going to give us a good tip. You know, there's a big difference between it. Cause I think a lot of people who give, like, they get tired of being asked to give, but if it's something that's going to be an experience that matters to them, they're more than happy to be a part of it. Like not just for their own gain, but so it really feels like they're investing in something or that they have put some money towards something that matters.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think this is that moment. So you've heard from us on the podcast since the beginning to think through everything you do in a strategic lens and be able to connect it to your mission and your vision. And doing the fundraiser should be one of those things. You should be able to articulate it to your people. This is why we're doing it. This is what it's going to lead to. But also everything you just mentioned, this is how our students are going to be involved in service through this, because getting our students involved in service is one of our values. If mm-hmm. obviously, if it's one of your values, if it's not, then, but you get the idea.
Yeah. It matches up.
Yeah. And being able to say like, hey, this is an opportunity for us to begin relationships with people in the community that could lead to evangelism, that could lead to, man, what if a family that has a teenager comes to this thing, whatever the fundraiser is, and it's, oh, what is this about? Oh, we're doing this so that we can go to camp and it's a great experience. Oh, well, I have a 16-year-old mm-hmm. and they might, man, I'm going to tell them about this event. There are so many strings of strategy that if you step back from the fundraiser and don't isolate it to that, we need money to go to camp or we need money to go to missions, there are a lot of other connection points that this can have that can make it a stronger pitch to your supervisor or to your pastor of why you need to do this thing, and a stronger offering to do ministry in the community. So mm-hmm. people do fundraisers, try to raise money to go to camp, pay for the bus, you know, charter the bus or get the whatever, right? or to bring the cost down so the families don't have to pay as much, mission trips. Are there any things that you guys would say are out of bounds for, like, we shouldn't do fundraisers for, let's be honest, a capital giving campaign is a fundraiser. Yeah. So people do fundraisers for buildings and more ministry and to go, you know, plant X amount of churches and those over the next several years. Like, all of those things can be considered fundraisers. Are there anything in your, that pops into your mind, like, real quickly, that are like, that just needs to be out of bounds?
I've always felt like it can be awkward to fundraise for something other than missions, because it seems like a lot of people would not understand the spiritual impact behind sending a student to camp. Because a lot of people know camp just as summer camp, like that I went to as a kid growing up. You jump on the blob, you horseback ride, you learn how to shoot a Nerf bow and arrow, you know. And so it seems like when you're fundraising for missions and can communicate, we're going to go do this to this underserved community, there's right out of the gate a much more compelling story to tell. And me as the student pastor, I know the deep, deep impact that that missions opportunity is going to bring. I also know the price tag that's on it. And I'm more comfortable asking the family to pay $250, you know, $350 to come to camp when, you know, the international trip is $1,600.
Right.
So, okay, let's fundraise for that.
Yeah.
And I think you've got to know, as a leader in your ministry, you've got to know your people and you've got to know your church context well enough to know when you, the difference between fundraising and a scholarship and things like that too, where you can come up with some creative ways to help your students get where you want them to go, but it doesn't, like, you can make it work within the context of what your church allows you to do. And because I think scholarships are a great way that's not fundraising, but it's knowing the right people who really have a heart for students that maybe, you know, they're never the one that they can't go on a trip. They can't chaperone at camp, but they would love to send somebody because they get, it's just like you're saying, they get the power of what can happen, you know, when you're at camp, when you're somewhere that that ministry is taking place, that students are involved, they're hearing the gospel. It makes me think of a guy that we all knew, Michael Smith, that he was a student pastor for a long time. And I didn't realize this until I was serving on his team. But the summer that he came to know the Lord, he couldn't afford to go to camp. And and my aunt and uncle were actually the ones who scholarshiped him to go.
Wow.
And I didn't realize that until, like, we were serving alongside of each other. And, like, he started talking about the summer he went to camp. And he said, Jeannie and Ronnie Cole paid my way to go to camp. And I said, that is my aunt and uncle. And he was like, are you kidding me?
That's
and
crazy.
So when they came to visit, you know, he just about tackled them and just thanked them for making the investment to send him to camp that summer when his family couldn't afford him to, you know, couldn't afford for them to go. And my aunt and uncle were just in a season where they could help another kid be able to go to camp. And for him, that was a pivotal summer where he came to know the Lord and, you know, was called to ministry, and so much of the trajectory of his spiritual life changed, you know, as a result of somebody's faithfulness to give. But that also came from the faithfulness of somebody to tell the story of why camp was important for students to go, and for people who could do something about it, to do something about it, to step up to the plate and say, hey, let's make sure that any student who wants to go to camp can go to camp. And so much of that comes from you as the student ministry leader, casting the vision, you know, that whether it's a fundraiser, whether it's a scholarship, whatever it is that you're doing, that it feels really well-rounded and purposed, and that it doesn't just feel like, hey, we're just trying to raise some money over here. But that, that when people start asking you questions, that you're not having to think about it really hard in that moment, but that you can come to the table with a really clear answer as to what it is you're trying to accomplish. And I think that is huge.
I love that. And I love the vision component of it and helping. So this can happen inside the church, through scholarships, through fundraising, all those things, is helping your people understand the scope of impact that scholarshiping someone or giving some to help someone go on mission can have. I mean, because you talked about your aunt and uncle who scholarshiped Michael to go to camp, and he came to know the Lord, and you ended up serving on his staff. I served on Michael Smith's youth staff. He was the person that gave me my first opportunity in ministry in Alabama. Like, he hired me when I was way too young and way too immature to be given ministry responsibilities. But I'm forever grateful to that guy because of the chance that he gave me to live out what I was called to do.
Yeah.
And that, so there are a lot, just with that one person, there are a lot of connections there that, man, going back to your aunt and uncle and saying, man,
who
this,
just said yes.
It like, was a catalyst to begin the work of God in Michael's life that connected to so many people throughout the year. And those of you that know Michael Smith, that you're agreeing with this. Those of you that don't, he passed away several years ago and is no longer with us, and was just a few years older than we are. So we miss him, and I'm forever grateful because of the chance that he gave to me and the way that he poured into me as a young minister.
Yeah. Something that I think is super important. You talked about casting vision and really being clear about what you're doing, why you're raising that money. I think that a lot of times when student pastors think about fundraising, it's a reality for a lot of churches, particularly small churches, that every year you're going to do these fundraisers. But I think it's often a pain point too, because a lot of churches don't raise the kind of money that they need. And so there's this, man, we're going to spin our wheels and we're going to work super hard and we're going to make about half of what we actually need. And we're still going to have a gap.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times that can come down to just not taking some of the appropriate steps up front to cast that vision, to assess how much you need from the get-go, and then figure out what you're going to have to earn in a fundraiser in order to hit the goal.
Yeah.
So if you have always done a spaghetti dinner, which is a pretty common one, you know.
Mm-hmm. Or do you like spaghetti?
Not at a fundraiser. Because it's just a can of that tomato sauce from the grocery store that's just dumped out on the
not
cheapest
noodles
you can find.
It's the one from Sam's or Costco.
Yeah. Yeah.
The big vat.
Yeah, fundraiser spaghetti is rarely good.
Yeah.
And if it is good, then you really are struggling on your margins.
Yeah, exactly. You've spent too much on the spaghetti.
That's right.
So
that's right.
I get it. It's cheap. But so the problem is that a lot of churches will do something, you know, like a dinner plate, you know, so whether it's spaghetti or if it's, you know, Boston butts or whatever. But it's a donation. So you come in and people are going to donate for the plate, and the whole student ministry is coming into this thing having put a ton of work in, and they got their fingers crossed that they're going to raise enough money.
Yeah.
Instead of sitting back and saying, okay, what we have to do to hit our goal is we need whatever it is, $3,000, which means this many plates at $15 a plate. Which means we need this many people sitting at tables, which means we need to do one dinner because we can fit everybody in here, or four dinners, four nights in a row, and RSVP to have that many plates, you know? And I think there's just, with a little bit more thought and maybe some creativity to understand you can be better than a spaghetti dinner, you could be a lot more successful in fundraising.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with the theme in mind, let's run with you can be better than a spaghetti dinner. What are some other fundraising ideas that student ministry leaders can run with for fundraisers that maybe are a little more scalable than spaghetti dinner?
So you mentioned one that I find awesome and fascinating. And that's the Boston butts. The smoking of delicious meats for the purpose of fundraising. So, because here's the deal. I believe that most church contexts have those people that love to just stand at a grill or a smoker and just operate it all day. Mm-hmm. Like there are those people there. Like their spiritual gift is the smoking of delicious meats.
Yeah.
And you can help them fulfill their calling.
I've never seen that one on the gift inventory.
it's the new one that Lifeway's getting ready to put out. That's gonna be on there. Mm-hmm. It's number 8 on the Enneagram. If you do that, but I think that this is a good thing. Now again. I think there should be strategy behind it. Don't just say, hey, for a donation, you can do this. Like have people, this is something you have people order probably ahead of time because mm-hmm. of the length of time that it takes. But if you plan it right around seasons of the year where people are wanting to buy bulk delicious meats, Thanksgiving, Christmas, 4th of July, like these Memorial Day, like these are opportunities for you to have a really cool moment with some of your youth workers, perhaps, that just enjoy doing this.
Yeah.
And that want to teach other people how to do it, get teenagers involved. Again, like this is probably isn't a full student ministry kind of thing, but I think that's one that not enough people do.
Well, and so here's the struggle with that one. And when we talk about scalability, what this ends up being is the student pastor and one volunteer dad stay up all night.
And they're Saturday the only night. Ones that are doing it.
And they can only smoke as many butts as can fit on the church grill, right? And they're ready Sunday morning, and people buy as many as you have. And yeah, you can sell those things for, you know, $25-$30 probably. You know, your fundraiser price is always going to be the premium. But it's when you think about it in those terms, it's not scalable.
Yeah, that's true.
So the question there is, and you could treat the spaghetti dinner this way, you could treat anything this way. The question there is, one, for the sanity of the student pastor, how do I not stay up all night smoking butts at the church? Instead, how can I get 15 other people to have their smokers running for the next couple of days?
Yeah. That's right.
And have exponentially more delicious meats smoked on delivery day when mm-hmm. people are going to fork out the cash. So if you live in a town, you know, a southern town where everybody's going to love barbecue and a lot of people will have smokers, you know, there's parts of the country that that's not the thing. Yeah. There are parts of the country that you need to do, you know, crab boils or shrimp boils.
Yeah, or like in Louisiana, do crawfish or something. Yeah. You know, like you got to know your people and your audience.
But how can you leverage your people to do something that you know the rest of the church is going to value? Everybody does it on their own. Maybe you give everybody, here's the recipe, you know.
Yeah.
Spend your time mixing the rub that's going to go on the meat and give everybody the same rub. This is the temperature we're going to do it at.
So this is a lot of barbecue talk, but I think the main point here is you have to know your context and know your people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, Mary Margaret, what you were saying. So if you remember the movie The Three Amigos, and I know that there are some that are listening to the podcast that will remember, and sadly, there are some listening to the podcast that won't remember the movie The Three Amigos.
They've never experienced it.
And you should
there
go.
There are some that will remember it, and there are some that now need to go watch it.
Yes, absolutely. You need to watch The Three Amigos. And there's a scene in the movie where the bad guys are about to invade this town and the three amigos are there and they're talking to the village people about how they can defend their town and they have no skills. And then one of the village people says, "We can sew." And so they build this elaborate defense plan based around the one skill that everybody in the town has. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to give it away. No spoilers here other than that little piece. But it took the three amigos learning what skills the people had and then mobilizing those people towards accomplishing the goal. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about with fundraising. You have to know your people. And so, John Paul, I think one of the good examples of this is what you guys did with the race and knowing that there is a running culture and that there were, you'd be able to draw a crowd with doing a race both in the church and open to the public. And that was a fundraiser. You've talked a little bit about it on the podcast before, but you can explain more in the context of this one. But that's one that's contextualized. You knew people would be involved. You knew people were in the church that had experience in this area specifically that could kind of take the reins of organization and things like that. And it was a smashing success.
Yeah. So this is an idea that was totally taken from Matt Petty at Burnt Hickory. A little shout out to Matt. Matt, I don't know if you listen. Matt does a 10K race, and they raise, I mean, just tons of money every year. And so he talked about it at a conference, and we ripped it off. But that's one of those things we talked about. As a staff team, we said, okay, what is truly scalable? Well, a race, I mean, there's no limit to how many people can run through a course. And we did it in our parking lot. So they were, mm-hmm. I mean, we have a big parking lot at Liberty. They have five parking lots. So they were weaving through every single parking lot. But you can weave, I mean, a million people through those five parking lots. I mean, there's no limiter there.
Yeah.
So we contacted a timing company and asked them to do it for free. And they said, okay. And we went to Walmart and Sam's and said, hey, we're doing a community event. Give us some snacks for free. And they said, okay. And we had our recreation director put the course together and put packets together. And we ran it just like any other race that would have been in Hampton Roads. And $13,000 later, we were sending kids on mission.
Mm. Yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And so knowing your community and having the people there and being able to cast a vision for that, all things that we've talked about on this podcast are essential to that one. So whatever you decide to do fundraising-wise and whatever you decide to fundraise for, make sure that you draw out the plan.
Yeah.
That you know, like this needs to be treated like you're planning another major event. Mobilize people to be involved, have the strategy behind it, have the process that it needs to go on, cast vision for your people. And once you do those things, then I think you'll be, those are the kind of the baseline foundational elements of doing that fundraiser. And we can't forget something that we mentioned earlier. We can't forget that fundraiser could be an awesome opportunity and front door for outreach in your church. And I know that as you guys did that race, you probably had information about the church in the runner's packet and everything that they, you know, that they received so that there would be a connection back to the church as a whole.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and you do registration, you know, packet pickup if you're a runner. We did packet pickup in the foyer of the church. So they're all coming in the church, you know, 2 weeks before the race day and getting familiar with where the course is and how it's going to run. And then you run the race all around the church and you have your church people there cheering them on and giving them water at water stations and handing out snacks and, you know, the whole deal. It truly is an outreach event.
Yeah. And here's what I love about this topic is that it is one of those things that is truly scalable for your context, your church, and your people. It doesn't have to be this ginormous thing. Know your people, mobilize your people to the specific goal that you set out. And anytime you set a goal, it's always a good idea to try and stretch yourself mm-hmm. and shoot for something that is going to take more than just you to pull off.
And I think when you kind of wrap up the whole thing at the end of the day, once you come back from that mission trip, from camp, wherever it is, to like, if you're able to connect with the people who helped make it happen, who were financially, you know, involved in it, you know, depending on what exactly your church does, let them know what happened, you know, tell the stories and get your students to write some thank you notes, you know, or whatever that looks like, you know, however you can remind your students of how how much it made a difference for them, you know, that other people contributed, and to remind your church body or your community what happened as a result of how they gave or how they supported, you know, any way that you can, then you can continue to tell the story. That's what's going to make the longstanding impact for everybody, and remind those students too, that their experience could not have happened without the help of some other people.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that sounds like as good a place as any to put a period on the conversation. Thanks for listening to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. Remember to head over to iTunes, leave a rating and review, hit that subscribe button while you're there. Tell somebody about the podcast. We can't wait to see you again next week. Bye.